Today's podcast is sponsored by RadRx, your source for quality online education for interventional and diagnostic radiology coding, taught by subject matter expert Stacy Buck. For more information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Struggling to learn interventional radiology coding? If so, RadRx has the perfect solution for you. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology online training program. In this program, interventional radiology coding expert Stacy Buck breaks down the complexities of interventional radiology coding in easy-to-understand terms so you can grasp this complex specialty. Through her course, Stacy has assisted many coders with little or no interventional radiology coding experience in successfully passing the CIRC exam on the first attempt. For additional information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Stacy Buck.
Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says. I am your host, Stacy Buck. In this episode, I'm going to give you tips on becoming a subject matter expert. But first, I want to let my listeners know about an exciting new educational opportunity I am offering, RadRx Monthly Virtual Coding Roundtables. These roundtables will be held once per month, beginning on July 12th, and each session will be 60 minutes in length, and each month I'll choose a topic for discussion. I will provide a brief overview of the topic for approximately 20 to 25 minutes, and then we will have open discussion along with question and answer. You will earn one continuing education credit for each roundtable, and that credit may be reported for both AHIMA and AAPC. Most of the topics will be interventional radiology coding, but occasionally I will cover a diagnostic radiology topic. Access to the roundtables will be on an annual subscription basis. You can save by paying in full for 12 months at $299 for the year, or pay monthly for 12 months at $34.95 per month. So your annual subscription will save you $120 a year when you pay in full. In addition to the coding roundtable participation, your subscription also will allow you to submit one coding question per month via email for consultation. Answers to these questions will be posted online and accessible to all subscribers. So $34.95 per month is a bargain for one continuing education credit and one coding consultation. Normally, our single question coding consultation alone is $50. If you're interested in signing up and want to pay monthly, please send an email to info@radrx.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at radrx.com. And we'll send out a recurring invoice to you on July 1st. When paying monthly, you are agreeing to pay 12 monthly payments of $34.95. If you're ready to pay in full to take advantage of the savings an annual subscription gets you, go to shop.radrx.com. That's shop.radrx.com to purchase your subscription. Now let's jump right into today's topic, becoming a subject matter expert. So for myself personally, I never set out to become a subject matter expert. I just always enjoyed teaching. Teaching has always been my passion for as long as I can remember. And so I've really just had this desire to share the knowledge that I have obtained with other people. Now, 20 years ago, it was about 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I got started with education, really going full on into education and into speaking and into presenting. I don't even remember hearing the term subject matter expert being used back then, but now that is a very common term to refer to someone as a subject matter expert. From time to time over the years, I used to joke with different people that I was a coding celebrity. And so I never used the term subject matter expert, but I would say coding celebrity. And the reason why I would jokingly refer to myself that way is because I used to do a lot of traveling many years ago to in-person conferences. I did a lot of live meetings. And so I was traveling all over the country, speaking to different groups of people. And also a lot of people just knew of me virtually. I had a very big online presence even before social media, just a lot of people knew about me. So when I would go to different meetings, I'd be in the hotel and I'd be, you know, walking down the hall and people would say, "Hey, Stacy, how are you, Stacy? Hi, Stacy. You know, you're great, Stacy." And I would get all this feedback from people. And it's kind of funny because people will come up and talk to you like they know you. And I'm thinking, I have no idea who you are. Like, I've never met the person before. And so that when you have those types of experiences, that kind of shows you that you have arrived at a certain level when you are out and about and people are coming up to you and acknowledging you and thanking you for your contributions. And so that was always a pleasant experience. And some people have asked, "Oh, can I have my photo taken with you?" Which makes me laugh because I'm not, you know, a celebrity, but there are people who've asked for that. And I do take photos with them. I've even had people ask me to sign, you know, books and things like that, which I always, that tickles me when people ask me that. So that kind of showed me that I had that presence. So back then, I was a subject matter expert. I became a subject matter expert a long time ago. I just didn't necessarily think of myself in the term of subject matter expert. And then when I first started using that terminology to describe myself, I kind of felt a little uncomfortable with describing myself that way, but that's what I am, and that's how people acknowledge me. So for me, how it all started was when I was working at US Diagnostic back in 2001. I started out there as an internal auditor and then got promoted to corporate compliance officer. And I was finally working in a role that allowed me to do outside speaking engagements pretty freely. And after 1 year in my role as internal auditor, before I became compliance officer, right before that time, I finally had some great coding content to share. And one day I found out that the Coding Institute was looking for speakers to do audio seminars. So I applied to do audio seminars for them, and that's where it all started. They accepted my proposals and I started doing audio seminars for the Coding Institute, which led to me doing audio seminars for AHIMA, also HC Pro, many other companies. Then eventually we moved from audio seminars into webinars. Those of you who've been in the profession for a while, you know that we used to do audio seminars. Everything was over the phone with the PowerPoint printed out in front of us. We weren't looking at our screens. We were just listening on the phone. Eventually we moved into webinars. And then after I was doing webinars, I was speaking at local HIM association meetings. So in Florida, we have multiple local HIM chapters that are part of the Florida Health Information Management Association. So I would go around and speak to the different regions. I also started to speak at the Florida State Meeting, the annual convention for FHIMA. And then I also spoke at AAPC local meetings. And then eventually I got into speaking at the national level for AAPC at HealthCon, for AHIMA at their annual convention, and also for AHRA, which is the Radiology Administrators National Association. So that's one that many of you may not be familiar with, but I've spoken for them at several national meetings. So it really was this progression of starting with the audio seminars, the webinars, the local association meetings, going to the state level, and then going to the national level. And the more I presented and the more I spoke, the more I realized that I enjoyed it and I wanted to do more of it. And then the more I did of it, the more I was asked to speak. So becoming a subject matter expert, it's really about showcasing your knowledge and expertise and getting yourself known in your space. That is going to be your main objective. And of course, credibility as a subject matter expert is going to come through experience and doing many other things that I am about to share with you. But first, before we get into that, so I want to ask, why do you want to become a subject matter expert? Maybe you want to start your own consulting business, or maybe you just want to find a side hustle in addition to your full-time job, or maybe you just want to boost your resume. We often think about subject matter experts having their own consulting business, and that is a logical career progression for a subject matter expert, but not all subject matter experts have their own business. Owning your own business may not be for you, but being known as a subject matter expert can certainly assist you in your career and then landing that dream job working as a subject matter expert for a large company. So subject matter expertise can help you even when you are looking for employment with other companies. It's going to boost your visibility. More people are going to know about you. You're going to be established in that particular space. And that is going to bring you more earnings potential by being that subject matter expert. Being a subject matter expert, you can do many different things with your subject matter expertise. Typically, where you're going to find your SMEs working would be in auditing roles. Obviously, that makes sense. Also doing education, whether it be webinars, conferences, and then software development. That's something that I've actually been involved in over the years working with software companies where you act in a Q&A role, where you're doing coding validation and things of that nature, advising them on workflow. And then I've also done expert witness work too as a subject matter expert, where if there is a legal case involving coding issues, then you can step in and you could advise on the coding issues and then work with attorneys on these cases. And that type of work is super fun and it pays very well. So there's just a lot of opportunities in this space. And now I feel with technology, as we move forward in that technology space, there's definitely a need for subject matter experts because software development is huge. We see the evolution of software every year. Now we've gone from computer-assisted coding into AI, the artificial intelligence, which is taking that coding to the next level. AI is different from CAC. And so now there's a need for coders to work with those vendors who are providing AI software like they were needed to work with the CAC providers in order to validate what the product was giving for that output. The cool thing about the times that we're living in is that these days with technology, it is easier than ever to promote yourself as a subject matter expert because you don't need someone to give you an opportunity. You have the ability to create your own opportunities and really put yourself out there. There is so much that you can do to promote yourself that is absolutely free. I wish I had the tools that are available today available to me 15 years ago. And the reason why I say that is because back then, I was out and about a lot more, doing a lot more face-to-face, and I was very involved with AHIMA at the national level, FHIMA at the state level, and I was involved in a lot of different things. And I was in front of so many people, it would have been easy to get these people to come follow me over on social media and stay engaged with me once I was no longer in front of them. But that opportunity wasn't there back then. But I would have a phenomenal following online if that were the case. But anyone can become well known these days. There's YouTube. Obviously, there's a lot of people who become popular that way. You can take advantage of podcasting. You know, on social media, you've got Facebook, you've got LinkedIn, you've got Instagram, you've got Twitter, and it's using all of those tools, which are free, you can get your name out there. I'm amazed to see what some people have accomplished. You know, many of you who are listening may know of Victoria Mall from Contempo Coding. Her YouTube presence is phenomenal. I think the other day I was watching a video of hers and she was up to over 24,000 subscribers. And I think the week before she had like 23,000. It was like 1,000 in a week, I think she added, which was just mind-blowing to me. That's someone I think of. There's also Blue Garcia that's doing coding with Blue. I think she may be around the 12,000, you know, subscriber mark. To me, that is amazing that they have been able to build those audiences. And then podcasting, there are several people in the podcasting space. You all know that Brian Quee from Medical Coding Geek with the Not Elsewhere Classified podcast, he's been doing it for 4 years. He's got a good following. He got me started in podcasting. Terry Fletcher, who has her own consulting company, she has a phenomenal following with her, you know, podcast, tens of thousands of listens for her podcast episodes. Tony L. Holmes of Alpha Coding, her podcast is amazing. She has, you know, gotten a great following, and I think she's up to over 1,000 listens per episode. And those are just a few that are out there. So you really can get out there and get noticed if you are producing good content. And if you are a true subject matter expert, you do have the ability to produce good content. So how do you become a subject matter expert? Where should you start? Well, obviously you should have experience behind you, work experience behind you in order to become a subject matter expert. But the number one way to be seen as a subject matter expert, the quickest way to be seen as an SME, is speaking. Speaking is the number one way. That will get you out there the quickest. And with speaking, momentum will build. If you go and speak and people are giving you rave reviews, they're going to recommend you to other groups, to other organizations, and you will hit a point in time where you won't have to be always soliciting speaking engagements. People will be coming to you and finding you and asking you to speak. That will just keep building momentum and keep building momentum. And so what you want to do in this space to start out is you have a lot of companies that do webinars. I'm not going to name all the companies that do webinars. You're in this profession. You know all the companies that do webinars. Submit webinar proposals to these companies that offer webinars. They're looking for speakers. They're looking for fresh content. So contact them. Put together a proposal. See if they will accept your proposal. You can also create your own webinars. That's an option for you to do to get yourself established and get yourself out there. And it may be difficult to, if you're new, it may be difficult to sell webinars to get people to pay you, but maybe initially you just do some free webinars to get yourself established where you're putting your content out there and then using those social media avenues that I mentioned to let people know what's there. And then eventually when you have a large enough platform and you have enough people following you, then you can actually charge people for attending your webinars. So webinars, that's really the first place I would recommend starting off. I think that's the easiest, especially if you're intimidated about being in front of a live audience. That would be a good way to start because at least you're sitting at your computer by yourself. And so that will help you get in the groove of speaking. Then eventually you can volunteer to speak at local meetings, AAPC chapter meetings. Those are a great place to start. They're always looking for speakers for their monthly meetings. Also, if you're a member of AHIMA, there are state associations associated with AHIMA, and then many of the state associations have regional HIM associations. You will want to volunteer to speak at a regional HIM association meeting. So that's a great way to get started with your public speaking, with that face-to-face meeting. Then from there, when you establish that comfort level, then move on to possibly state HIM association meetings. All the states have annual meetings and you can apply to speak to those. You simply go to their website. They have a call for speakers. You fill that application out and that's submitted. And then they review those. And then their committees will decide on who the speakers will be for the annual meetings. So that's another way. Also, there are local medical societies that you can speak to. Like here, you know, a big one is the Palm Beach, you know, County Medical Society. You have a lot of county groups there where you'll get in front of doctors. So if you have your own business and you want to get in front, you know, want to do consulting in the physician practice arena, the medical societies are a great way to go. Also, any specialty societies that focus on your niche and what you do, reach out to them and offer to speak there. There are so many speaking opportunities out there if you go looking for them. And then once you get comfortable speaking at all these levels, at some point you want to make sure that you're ready for national, to go out on that national stage. And that is exciting. I mean, I can remember the times that I spoke, the first time I spoke at HealthCon and the first time I spoke at national for AHIMA and the first time I spoke at national for AHRA. Those were amazing experiences to be able to be on that national stage and have the attendance of an audience. So for national meetings, look for any that apply, you know, to your area of expertise. Obviously, AHIMA and AAPC HealthCon, those are going to be the two big ones that most of us are familiar with and can submit to. But maybe you're in you know, some niche in the business. Some of you may be in CDI. So maybe you submit a proposal to ACDIS, A-C-D-I-S. Maybe you're over in revenue cycle. So maybe the Healthcare Financial Management Association, that might be somewhere that you go. If you're in radiology like me, the Radiology Business Management Association is an organization that you would want to apply to speak with. So there are a lot of options out there for speaking. So don't be shy. Go out there and look for those speaking opportunities. If you have content to share, and people say, well, how do I know if I have content to share? Well, what I say to people is I say, okay, think about this. Are people always coming to you and asking you for coding advice? Do they respect your opinion? Do you have answers for them? Are you sharing your knowledge already? Do you like to share your knowledge? If you already have that going on, you are already getting started as a subject matter expert, and now you want to find a way to capitalize on being the subject matter expert. And speaking will really get you out there in front of everyone and put you in the spotlight. So another way to become a subject matter expert is through writing. And people are always looking for articles, always looking for people to write for them. You can submit an article to the Journal of AHIMA. I have written several articles for them. I've also written several articles for AAPC Healthcare Business Monthly. So those are two national publications I've written for. And then I've also written for smaller publications as well over time. And I've written books. I've written, you know, handbooks and small publications. I've been an editor on some publications and things like that. So that gets you out there. Also, blogging. There are a lot of people out there blogging. A lot of companies in the healthcare space have blogs, and a lot of them are always looking for guest bloggers to provide content for their blog. It can be very challenging to come up with fresh blog content on a regular basis. So lots of companies welcome guest bloggers to submit something to their blog. So if there's a particular blog that you follow, for a particular company, you may want to offer a guest blog to them, and you will be surprised at the number of people that will take you up on your offer. And just a general note about writing, don't let writing intimidate you. People are, I find sometimes are very intimidated by it. The thought of submitting an article to the Journal of AHIMA, for example, or to AAPC Healthcare Business Monthly, people find that intimidating, but here's the thing. All of these major publications have professional editors that polish your article for you. So it isn't like you have to send them a perfectly polished, finished piece. They will actually help you through that editing process. So don't let that intimidate you and keep you from writing articles and even writing blogs. The company typically will have someone who's doing editing for their blogs and help you through that process. So if you have that content to share, writing is a great way to do it. If you're not quite ready for speaking, then writing would be the way to go. If you're still shy, then you may want to start with writing and go that route. Some other things that you can do. You can volunteer to serve on an editorial advisory board. So over the years, I've served on different editorial advisory boards, and you review articles before publication. I was often asked to provide quotes for different articles, so they would actually interview me for different topics that they were discussing, and then they would quote me in the articles. And then sometimes I would just be part of an editorial group for a particular publication that a company was putting together. Maybe it was like a compilation of many of us contributing to a publication. So that way you can get out there and you can be published and be known as a subject matter expert. So I did have some things published. You all know that I have my own book, Cracking the IR Code, which is self-published. I sell that directly for my consulting business. But over the years, I did publish various books, most of them through HC Pro on different topics. And many of those were handbooks. They were small handbooks, quick reference guides. But again, I was a published author, and then that establishes you as a subject matter expert. And that came about from being involved in the newsletters that were being published and being on editorial advisory boards. It then leads into that writing, into that publishing. Another way that you can showcase your knowledge is through coding discussion forums. So you'll want to find prominent ones and you'll want to actively participate in those. That's really probably one of the primary ways that people got to know me very early on. So when we're going back to 2000, 2001, 2002, when I first started doing audio seminars, I also was a member of many coding discussion forums, always actively participating, always sharing knowledge, always answering questions. So that helped people see that I knew my stuff when it came to, at that time, diagnostic radiology coding. And so I would actually have people ask me, once I moved out of the space where I was working for other companies, when I was working in a consulting company, they would come to me because they saw the knowledge and expertise in the forum. That's how I got business, from some coding discussion forums. That still happens on occasion, getting business from these discussion forums. So you want to find prominent ones and participate in those so people get to know you. But guess what? You can also start your own, again, with the technology that we have. I have, for RadRx, I have two different Facebook groups, one for interventional radiology coding, one for diagnostic radiology coding. You can start your own group. Also, LinkedIn, you can start groups. Now, groups on LinkedIn tend to not be very active. I started, you know, some groups on LinkedIn and had some people join, but nobody's really using them. So I'm not sure what that is. Maybe people just aren't as aware about groups in LinkedIn, or maybe it's because they were abused for so many years with a bunch of marketing that people don't participate in LinkedIn groups anymore. But you can start your own. There are so many ways that you can get discussions started around coding and start building your audience. You also want to leverage social media. Like I said, I wish I would have had social media like we do now, you know, 15 years ago. I would have been much further along if I had had it there. So you can get on LinkedIn, you can get on Facebook, you can get on Twitter, you can get on Instagram and share valuable content on all platforms. Create value for people. One thing that I started to do this year is over on LinkedIn and on Facebook. I do it on my Facebook business page and I do it on my LinkedIn business page and also my personal LinkedIn profile. Every Tuesday, I have Coding Tip Tuesday. So I'm sharing a coding tip. And then every Thursday, I have Q&A Thursday where I'm answering a coding question. So that is sharing my knowledge, giving people free coding advice, and it's showing the subject matter expertise over there in the space for diagnostic radiology, interventional radiology. And I have to say, with LinkedIn, I kind of neglected LinkedIn for many years, like a lot of people have. I just didn't see the point and I thought it was a waste of time. And then a couple of years ago, when I went to a networking meeting, we had a LinkedIn expert talking to us about how to use LinkedIn to get business. And then we got a free copy of his book and I came home, read through his book, took some of his pointers from his session and redid my LinkedIn profile and then started connecting with people more on LinkedIn, growing my connections and then posting more on LinkedIn. Now, I didn't really start posting like content like regularly on LinkedIn until this year, but I was still working connections. What I have found is that the more time I spend on LinkedIn, the more I've been over there, the more opportunities that are coming to me. People are seeing me on LinkedIn, they're finding me on LinkedIn, and they're coming to me with consulting opportunities, which has been very exciting. So again, I wish I had started with LinkedIn a lot sooner. But again, create that content. If you have great content that is going to help people solve their coding headaches, you know, if you're in the coding space, by all means, develop that, put it together, and then get it out there in front of people so they see you as the subject matter expert. Another thing you can do to get yourself out there is podcasting. My latest endeavor, obviously, has been podcasting. Now, my podcast isn't specifically to sell my business. That's not the main purpose. I don't talk about coding. I don't teach coding in my podcast. So I'm not looking at myself as a subject matter expert over here in this space. I see this more as me giving back to the profession. I've always enjoyed mentoring people, advising new professionals and even seasoned professionals and giving them the benefit of my experience. So this is my way to do that, to give back to the profession. Maybe someone would call me an SME in this space just because of my experience. I don't know, but I consider myself an SME when it comes to diagnostic radiology coding and interventional radiology coding. But again, with podcasting, I wish I had done this years ago when I had gotten started earlier. Brian Quee has, encouraged me for years to get into podcasting, and it took years for me to finally take that leap. I just think about all of the missed opportunity over the years and not getting out there and using all of these methods of promotion. But hey, it's a new day. Every day is a new day. You can start something new. You can do something new. So those are all steps that I recommend on becoming known as a subject matter expert. And really for me, when I think about becoming a subject matter expert, I think of this as, what is the end game for becoming a subject matter expert? For me, the end game is, how do I monetize my subject matter expertise? That is the end game. And that is what I have done in my business through my online course. I have been able to monetize that subject matter expertise, and I now have a passive income stream. And again, with technology, there are so many ways that you can do that. So really, it's about building a platform, because this is what I say to people. If they have great content and great subject, matter, expertise, and they're like, oh, I'm going to put together a webinar and I'm going to sell this webinar. And I'm like, that's awesome. I am so excited for you. But my question is, how many people know about you? Do you have an email list? Are you on social media? How large is your platform? You can have the greatest content in the world. You can be the smartest person in your area. But if nobody knows about you, if nobody knows that you exist or that your products exist, then it doesn't matter how great it is. You're not going to make any sales. And that can be very discouraging in the beginning, assuming that is your goal in becoming an SME. I know that is for a lot of people, whether you want to get into having your own consulting business or your own side hustle. It's about monetization, and the opportunity is definitely, definitely there. And maybe in a future episode, I may want to talk about monetization and then pick the brains of some other people that are out there in this space, because I'm fascinated on monetization of the content that we're sharing on social media platforms. And I would like to know more about it. And I'm sure that my listeners would like to know more about it. So maybe I'll tap into Brian Quee. I'll tap into Victoria, Mall from Contempo, and maybe Tony Elholm. So if you all are listening to this podcast, hey, I may be in touch with you soon. Maybe we could kind of have a panel discussion about that and then share that information with our audiences. So anyway, that is all that I had to share with you today on becoming a subject matter expert. As always, I thank you for listening. I am so appreciative for those of you who have been following the podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with your friends and your coworkers. And I look forward to connecting with you for my next episode in 2 weeks. Thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Who Cares What Stacy Says. You can connect with Stacy on social media. You can find her business page for RadRx on Facebook, and you can connect with her personally on LinkedIn. Don't forget to check out the online training courses offered by RadRx: Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology Online Training, or Cracking the Diagnostic Radiology Code Online Training. Thanks again for tuning in to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level.